Alicia, how did you meet your husband?
Well, I worked for his dad. I was packing. And they were big growers, very, very big growers up north.
What did they grow?
Tomatoes and grapes. And they, at that time, they used to take the fruit and vegetables to Reno in Nevada for the vegetable exchange. And I used to pack early in the morning, real early in the morning, so it'd be ready, or late in the afternoon. And that's how I met.
And where was it? Was that up north, or was
up
that
up
down here?
Oh, no, it was up in Merced.
What made you decide to go up to Merced?
Well, I have a brother that, my dad was working for the P.E. Railroad. He was a superintendent. And my brother and him and I and the Bixby girl and Tommy, the Bixby boy, we were hunting for pigeons. It was my brother's hobby. And he stepped on one of those thorns, and it went through the bottom of his foot, and I never could find it. So I got Dr. Hosko from Artesia, told my dad there was a real good surgeon in San Francisco to take him. At that time, we started depression starting coming in, and we ran out of money. So the ones that were able to go to work, he told us to go and help him work. So my brothers, the smallest brothers of mine, would pick the tomatoes, and that's how I learned how to pack. His dad showed me how to pack, and I packed them just for a small time only. So then the season was over, and my dad said, well, we better go back to go to San Francisco. We got to San Francisco. We hit Hayward. So we stayed in Hayward while my dad hunted for this doctor and found him. But when he saw this doctor, he was an Oriental, and he was getting transferred to Los Angeles County Hospital. So he said, well, right now, he says, I'm getting ready to go to Los Angeles General Hospital. He says, well, I will be there. He says, take him back. So the folks decided to come back. Then we came back to Hawaii. And then he will have surgery. He has osteomalacia because that big bone hit the nerve of the bone, the bone, and it started going inside the bone and affected the high stuff of the bone. Of the bone. Mm-hmm. I don't have a name for it.
The bone marrow?
Mm-hmm, bone marrow. So then they had to remove that bone marrow from the right leg and the bone from the left arm, and they switched it. The yellow doctor, he said he'll be all right now, but no exercise or nothing for a long time. So he stayed in the county hospital, which they done an awful beautiful work on him. So he got well. So then we stayed in Hawaii then the rest of the time. Then the war broke out. That's when they all left, all my brothers.
Now, you met your husband when you were working.
I'm going up that way. Mm-hmm.
And when did you decide to get married?
Oh, I didn't decide to get married right away. No. I came back to we came back here, and I had told him before in the conversation that I had an aunt, Bellflower, and he asked me what was her name, so I told him. McDonald Daddy Farm. Just go down there. I said, no. That is where I'm at. If you ever decide to go up that part of the country. And so before you knew it, I had him for a company. Before you knew it, I got married just in, I think it was about 9 years' time. Because at that time, the folks used to tell you, you can't get married right now. You have to wait so length of time. It was about a year after we got married. And then I lived with him for about 6 years, and it was a divorce. Yeah, that's it.
What was his name?
Pacini, Joe Pacini, P-A-C-I-N-I.
And what was he like?
Well, he didn't like farming. That's one thing he always said, he didn't want a farm. His ambition was gambling, which I didn't like. And being throwing the cards in the table, you know, for poker, or going to Nevada and the poker. So that's what made the separation.
How old were you when you got married?
I was 17, going 18. About last part of in November. And it's 1932.
What was your wedding like?
It wasn't much of a wedding. We went here to the Los Angeles court and just went there and got married that way. Then we came back to Hawaiian Garden.
When you got married, what did you have any thoughts about what it was going to be like?
No, it was no. I didn't even know if I was going to get married the other day I got married. All the folks never used to tell you nothing. You was blank. You didn't know nothing. And all the Italian, let's put it, the Italian people believed big families. And I never did get like that because I saw what my mother went through. So I just made up my mind just then, that was it. But we just couldn't get along, so he left and went back to Fresno.
Did you live down here the whole time you were married?
Yeah. That's about it.
After you were married, did you continue to work?
I worked while I was married and I worked afterwards. I worked all the time. I've been working since I was 11 years old. But you really talk about work, hard work, like, I went as far as picking cotton. I picked cotton in Bakersfield when we were coming back from San Francisco because we were not of money there. I learned how to pack. And then they had a great big, after we got here, they had a great big strike. And it was up here in Olive. And they needed help. I was about 13 years old. And I went there, and I started to pack. I learned how to pack oranges and lemons. So that's what we had, a lot of oranges and lemons. Then afterwards, I thought, well, that's better than working out in the field. So I started learning how to pack all kinds of vegetables, what they call ice pack and straw pack. Mm-hmm. On the freights, they had the freighters. And like the rhubarb. Now, rhubarb, we had pack it in water. And they would have big trough like where the horses drink water. Or they throw the pickers would throw the rhubarb in there and we wash them and pack them at the same time. And then we put them in the, the van. I never picked them up because they were awful heavy, those crates. But they had a van where it would roll up as far as the freighters and then the boys would carry it inside the freight. So from then on, I packed until during the winter, I met this doctor. They needed a babysitter at Lakewood, which is Lakewood, just starting to be Lakewood. Dr. Palmer, he was a professional at the University of Lakewood. And I babysit for him only in the evenings when him and his wife had to go to a meeting or something like that. And he was the one, his wife was one day told me, says, Alicia, we're having a big contest in Hollywood Bowl. How would you like to try it? And I said, he says, the way how you go around here, you make good. I said, I don't know how to wait tables. So Mrs. Palmer showed me how to set the tables, how to turn and set and serve the water, and then my salad, and then I'd go back to the kitchen, and when they rang the bell, well, we'd come back and serve, pick up the dishes and serve up. So after we got through, I went back to the kitchen. I was taking my apron off when we had a little white apron with a little thing on our head. So when I got through, we were all sitting out in the kitchen waiting for them to, you know, to take us back to here to where we live. And they called my name. So I won the first prize and waiting on banquets, which they gave me. It was a $5, it was a lot of money then, and a cookbook, which I still got it. And it says the date that they gave me that cookbook.
How old were you then?
I was about 15, 15 and 16, something like that. Then from then I went to Masters. And I was a waitress there.
Now, when you were waitressing at Knott's Berry Farm, did you also do packing during the packing season?
No. The girls, there was only one or two once in a while. Serve on the tables on the, well, it was, Knott's Berry Farm wasn't a big place. It was just a little shack of wood. And it had a little, like a little stand where you can stand on a stool and eat. Maybe they had only two little tables. And they serve sandwiches and jam and other little things off and on. And you only got paid by tips. You didn't get wages. And I used to make quite a pretty good tip because Mr. Knotts, the old man, he kind of got attached to me. And he would say, "Now, see that one coming in? Serve him."
So he'd direct you to where you might get better tips.
Mm-hmm. He was real nice to me. Real, real nice. And a lot of times when he asked me, he says, it was about 4 o'clock when they used to cook up. They didn't work late at that time. He asked me, how was I going to get home? And I said, well, how to walk. A lot of times he offered to bring me home. But my folks said, never. Never go. So I used to walk from that day upon to Hawaiian Gardens.
And it was after that that you went up north?
No, it was before we went up north.
Right. You worked there, and then after you worked at Knott's Berry Farm, you went up north?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, my brother got sick.
Right.
That was in... '29, I think, or in between there.
Mm-hmm. Were your parents very strict with you
yes.
going out with your well, future husband and that?
Oh, yes. I couldn't go alone. Uh-uh. I always had to have a brother or my mother would go with him. Mm-hmm. I always had a chaperone. My folks were very strict.
Did they like him?
Well, my mother did, but my dad didn't because he said he was too good looking to be any good. But he's the type of a man. Well, he was, like I said, him and I couldn't get along. Both of them young, put it that way. And a lot of things that he didn't approve of my dad, and my dad didn't approve of his. Like saying, if his dad had so much fun in order, why didn't he stay with his folks? What was he doing over here roaming around at his age? And because years ago, you know, a man would stay home until he was 30 or 40 years old. That's the only thing my dad had against it.
Where did you live?
With my folks.
With your folks?
Or when I first got married, I went with his dad and mother, or his folks, for a very short time. But after they started making me wash great big overalls by hand, I made up my mind one of the two, I'll go home or he'd come. So I came home and he followed me. And then I didn't have no money, so I landed at the police station. I walked to the police station. And the police asked me what I was doing. I told them the story. I said, have you got any relatives up north, south? And I said, yeah. He said, who? I said, all my folks. So, I said, but they don't have no money. He said, I have an aunt. But she really likes me. I said, I'm pretty sure she'll help me. So they told me who was she was. And so I told her. So they called my aunt. My aunt answered the phone right away. She said, oh, yes. She said, I'll wire the money right now for him. So when I got to, then when the police put me in the bus, the police told him, if anybody try and touch that woman, don't let nobody. Nobody. Until she gets to Los Angeles. And when they, I don't know how many stopped between Bakersfield and Merced. The bus driver would see that wherever I sit down to have a sandwich. If I didn't have no money with me, he offered his. And when I got to Los Angeles, my uncle was there already waiting for me. Mm-hmm. So that was nice.
Now, tell me about when you got pregnant first.
I didn't know I was pregnant. I was sick of my stomach. But I didn't know I was pregnant, and nobody told me anything. Until after, later on, I had a cousin that knew more, a lot more than my folks, I guess, and she was starting explaining to me things.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel about having a baby?
Well, I never had a thought of it, to tell you the truth. Afterwards, I just had to make up my mind. Because years ago, you didn't believe in abortion or anything like that. If you got pregnant, you stayed pregnant. He liked the idea, but to me, it was awful hard. Because I really was spoiled, let's put it that way. Even if I did work, I was awful spoiled through my dad and my mother. A lot of those things that I'd get my way when I shouldn't have got my way. I just started working, but every place I went to work, one of my brothers would be with me all the time. If I went to packing up packing house, they'd see they get a job close by to be there at dinner time or to eat with me or bring me home. Mm-hmm. But they were always with me.
Where did you work after you were married?
With my aunt Nadalius, mm-hmm. This buddy Nadalius. Cutting dahlias for the market. They go to Long Beach to the market. They have beautiful flowers. And that B&B of Los Angeles, I'd go with my uncle to deliver flowers there, and then from there we'd come to Long Beach. He had a Dodge, which now you call it a camper, but we had canvas, mm-hmm. And they roll them up, and you fill up that. And my uncle always did like me. And when he went like Los Angeles or something like that, would he take me with him? Or to the market? He'd always see that I'd go to the market with him so I can go to the beach. That's the only time I was able to go by myself because my uncle would give me permission. Well, I was my uncle. My uncle was the boss. But even though it was good time. Work hard, but it was good time.
When were your children born? Will you tell me their names and when they were born?
My girl was born in Merced with folks. I was here a little bit. It just happened. I went, you want to see his folks, so we went down there. In 1933, March the 7th, when they were quick here, mm-hmm. I missed the earthquake. Then I came home, and I had a sister that was married in, I lived in Chula Vista. And my dad was trying to get a job at the border because he had worked there before, at Spreckles in San Diego. So we went down there, and I went with him. And that's where we go. Before that, my daughter, Beverly, this one here, we went back to see his folks. Coming back, I got sick and I had her. She was born in Fresno, mm-hmm. The county hospital. I stayed there until I was ready to travel and came back to Hawaiian Gardens. Then, with my boy, I was in Chula Vista with my daughter. And it was raining terrible. That's when we had an awful big flood. And I couldn't get to the hospital, so they called the police, and the police took me. On the way up there between Chula Vista and Natchez City, there's a little dip. He went right there, at the police station. And the one that was sitting in the back with me said, well, when I get home, I guess I'll tell my wife I had it. Because he was sick, he was all messed up. So my three children were born in different places. At that time, I was already getting a divorce. And he was trying to take away Beverly from her. He didn't care about the oldest one because she looked too much like me. But he liked her quite a bit. So my aunt told me that he's out here now. That's the reason why I went to live with my sister. And I was visiting my sister when I decided to have my boy. But most all the time, this was my station in Hawaiian Garden, my home.
Who took care of the children while you were working?
My mother. I work and I bring my money home, everything I made, and give it to my mother for their food and their clothing while I work. She was the boss to, with them. Well, she raised them, and I worked like a man to give them food. But I never interfered with my mother when she punished them. So we got along pretty good. Or if they came and told me that, my boy was always the one at the time, the girl never told me nothing. Grandpa hit me, or Grandpa pawed me out. What did you do? Maybe you had it coming, that was the end of it. But I never interfered. She took care of him day and night for me. And a lot of, after I got bigger, I started going out. She would say, well, go, you worked too hard this weekend, why don't you go out? And I'll stay home with the kid. She always said that I went to a dance or to a show on a Saturday night. She was very good to me. For, you know, for my life, what I went through, work done and taking care of my kids and everything.
Was it hard for you to get a divorce? Emotionally, was that a hard
time? No, because I had to make up my mind, was the kid's life or mine? Because their people, they were awful mean. Very mean. He had two brothers and a sister. And he was a very, very jealous man. One time, that's mostly why I left at Fresno one time too. I was with his folks and he got jealous of one of his brothers and he locked me in the cellar. So when my father-in-law found out, he was hunting for me. He couldn't figure out what happened to him in the farm, and he went all over the farm hunting for me and called my name. So finally, I started tapping the door of the cellar so the doors would go outside. So then he broke the door, my father-in-law. That's how it happened to go to the police station. He broke the door and he says, Elsie says, I would give you the money to go, but I don't have it. He used to call me Elsie. So he says, I'll take you down the highway, the closest highway so you can get away. He was the one that helped me, my father-in-law, to get away. Then I decided I was going to get a divorce. Because it was between the kids and me. They believed, and they didn't care when they were, because I can't even drink quite a bit. A lot of them can know how to drink, a lot of them don't. Especially on meals, they have their wine. But then, my husband, he never drank as much liquor and they had them. But his brothers did. He had a very good-looking brother, and he was always talking to me. And that's what started that jealousy. So then I said, well, one of the two. And then when they get mad at each other, brothers, they don't care whether they had a knife or what they had in their hands, they'd throw it at each other. So I saw that and I didn't like it. I wasn't raised like that. That's what made me mostly get my divorce. Mm-hmm. I'm not sorry because I raised my kids and I never did him the satisfaction of taking them. And I never asked him for a penny. He was supposed to support my kids, $25 for each. I would ask for it. And I was going to show him that I can support him, and I do.
Did he have much contact with them while they were growing up?
No, he never sent them even a Christmas card or a birthday card, never. Now that he's old and sick, now he's hunting for them. So I got a few letters there that he'd been writing to me, which in a way I feel sorry for him, because he lived with another woman, which he wasn't married to her, and had, I think he's got three children, two sets of twins, and one, I think there's five or six of them. They won't have nothing to do with him, absolutely not. And now he's hunting for he was hunting for my boy to help him. So then I wrote to him, told him just what I thought. Because when they were growing here, he never thought of him. Now that he's in the dumps, I said, If they're going to be any supporting, they're going to support me. So he hadn't answered then. But he thought that, you know, now the boy is big and the girls. Well, he came and saw one, this one here, because he really liked this one. And then he let him stay here a couple of days or so, but she still says that he's just like a stranger to him, to her. Now he's in Tascadero. He's taking too much Valium, I hear his sister writes to him. And he blamed the doctor giving him those Valiums. Mm-hmm. He killed him up north. And I didn't know nothing about it until when he was in Tuscadero. It was... He wanted me to take him out as a trial. And I answered back, I said, take you out. I said, having six. I said, I had enough to take three kids without taking you out. And I answered back, not. And I never did. They let him out. One of his brother took him out the first time. And I don't know what he'd done, so they put him back in there. So he wrote to me about 2 months ago, 3 months ago. He was saying he was so sick and he was doing the hard labor now and I. And he said, I should go and see him or one of the kids. And I said, well, I wrote back and I said, well, you never thought of when they were young. Never sent him a card. I said, well, they don't know you nothing. I said, you, they own them their life. They don't owe you a penny. But if I had a chance to tell them, I would go and see him. I do feel sorry for them. That would never help him. I'd never go back. He tried for me to go back to him a lot of times. I just made up my mind, that was it, and that's it. When I say no, I mean no. When I say yes, I say yes.
Did you ever think about wanting to get married again?
I got married again. And he was a very good man, especially with my kids. Very, very, I couldn't have found a better one. But then, at last, he started using dope. And I didn't know it. So one day, a brother of mine that was in Marchfield came to visit me. And he told me one night, he says, have you noticed his eyes? I said, no. And I never pay attention, I'm too tired when I come from work. He says, oh, now someone took him up. He's using dope. So one day my brother followed him to the garage, but he didn't know my brother was following him. And he saw him use that needle. So after he left, my brother says, come here. I'm going to show you something. I had a beautiful home in Anaheim. I was there just for a very short time because he was in the Navy. And I was always living with my folks. So my brother called me. He says, come in there. You see that box? I said, yeah. Pick up that box underneath the box. So I picked up the box, and he had a little kit. So that night, I made up my mind that was it. I had worked too hard to support my kids, and I'll support him. Mm-mm. I noticed that money wasn't coming in, and the rent was going pretty steep. So I just walked. Told him, I said, you take the high road, I'll take the low road. I didn't get mad at him or anything. So I went ahead and sold the house under him. He was still staying there when I sold the house. And he said, why'd you do that? I said, you can't pay the rent. And if not, bills are not coming to my name. I came back to my folks again. I just stayed up there for 3 months, 4 months at the house. We had to pay it or pay the mortgage, one of the two, and get rid of it. So then he went up Oklahoma. His sister wrote to me. I wanted to know what was the matter, and I told her. She says, he wants to come back. I said, no. She says, well, taking back, we're having a heck of a time with him here. I said, I had my share here, too. So that was the end of him.
Now, when did you marry him?
In 46. And I'm 54. I divorced. That was it. That was enough for me.